Thank you for listening to KHRT Radio and Minot Today. I'm your host, Bob Tim, and my guest today is Michael Ward. Michael, why don't you say hello and tell the folks a little about you.
Okay, I'm Michael Ward. I've been an attorney, I guess, since 1966, and I'm with the Martin Law Firm. And Martin actually happens to be my son-in-law, be that as it may. And I do quite a bit on the farm law and on various things and related to farm, as well as estate planning and things like that. And that's, I believe, why he has me here.
Yes, we're going to talk about the corporate farming debate going on in the North Dakota legislature. And I'm going to have a few questions. It's going to be very few because really, Michael, the most I know about farming is I married the farmer's daughter.
Well, that will give you an insight into it. The Corporate Act is really a bill that is now being debated only as to adding the second cousins to those that would qualify if you wish to have a corporate farm, under the exception for farming when you have relatives and they're under 15 people. But this has sort of come to interest lately because there was just recently in 2018 decided by Hovland, a case which had been brought by basically the Farmers Bureau and the Farmers Union arguing over corporate farming. And actually, they were trying to get the act declared unconstitutional, and they were unsuccessful. And this session of the legislature has decided to extend the corporate farming, which, as I said, could be from 15 individuals that are related, and what they're doing is adding second cousins to the mix. The advantage of this for the farmer that's doing estate planning is we're getting to have a lot of single farmers. If you look at the statistics in North Dakota agriculture and who are the farmers, there's a lot of very old people that are going to die, and many of them are single gentlemen that stay in the field of farming. And that means, for instance, if you've got the cousins, he could have his brother's children's children be in that farm, which may be the only place they can find a person that is interested in going into farming, because many people with the current work that's involved in farming compared to other work are not really that interested in getting into farming. The only reason they would be interested in getting into farming is if they got used to it and they've sort of gotten into that way of life, which in North Dakota we've got many that do. And I gather that is the reason that the current legislature is considering. I think it has passed the one house, but it has not yet passed the other. It's just going over to be determined if it's going to be a change made to it. Right now, you could have it down to first cousins and their spouse in a farm-type corporation, and this is accepted, assuming you file the proper documents. But other than that, in North Dakota, and I think we're one of only about 8 states that has a law like that, you cannot farm if you're a corporation. You have limited periods to hold the land if you're a corporation. This varies from 10 years to, I think, in a couple cases, to only 1 year when they have it. But most of them have at least 3 years, and many of them 10 years that they can hold the land, but then they have to, during that period of time, have disposed of it under the North Dakota law.
You had mentioned that part of the decline was there wasn't a lot of interest. I would think another part of it is, too, a young man looking into farming would look at those astronomical startup costs. When you think of a combine costing, what, $150,000 or something?
A cheap one.
Yeah, a cheap one. So I imagine a lot of the people that may have an interest just are scared to death of the startup cost.
Well, of course, I also farm, but I have a limited farm because mine's now more than around 6,000 or 7,000 acres. And that is actually considered a farm, small farm in North Dakota if you're trying to make money on it. And the problem, of course, is the ones that can basically get the economics down are those that are large corporations and that move into the state. And there is a problem of getting into farming, even if you are interested in it, though what I was thinking more was the ones that are heirs to someone that already has a farm and so they could inherit it. But the amount of money that you have to run a farm is an amazing amount. And accordingly, it isn't that easy an area to get into, even if you're interested in it, though it's possible. Many of the farms that we've got that are rather large today, they are renting the land, and I know some of them rent up to 20,000 acres that are still fairly small, but that is not at all unusual because land right now is probably selling for the cheapest farmland you can find. It'd be $1,000 an acre. The cheapest pasture is $500. And believe me, this is the cheapest.
Yeah, so not the, probably the best soil either to farm.
I would say you'd have something like soil, which is a type that has got about a 6-inch topsoil, which is all they've got. It's usually grown down hillsides. And it is, there's a real limitation of getting good land right now at a reasonable price, or what most farmers would consider a reasonable price.
I would also guess that the new addition of industrial hemp may help out some more interest in farming, because I would imagine that that crop, you don't need quite as many acres to be productive. But then again, maybe there's new equipment to harvest that that would need to be purchased. So again, you're back into the high expense in a startup.
I don't think the equipment would be. There's an awful lot of government regulation, and a person that's going to go into doing something like getting industrial hemp would have to be looking at all the regulations and being careful that he didn't violate it. It actually is not like you're growing regular marijuana. What it is, though, is the actual plant that probably marijuana came from, because they don't have it nearly as strong. So for those that think they can sneak out in the field, grab a few leaves and roll it into a cigarette, they are going to be greatly disappointed in what they get to smoke.
I do remember reading that it's supposed to have virtually no THC content to it. But again, it just sounds like a wonder product that you can make clothing, paper, building materials. Just sounds like a very versatile product.
During World War II, it was one of the crops that was grown in North Dakota quite a bit. We've got land down on the bottom land next to some trees, and a lot of the hemp got into there. And until, well, I suppose about 10 years ago, when they started making the hemp so strong that it was used for getting one high, they used to be regularly, you'd see people out there harvesting the hemp in these clumps of trees and going through it to get enough hemp so that they could stay happy.
Yeah. Good luck to them.
Well, now they've got, the others are so much stronger, they don't mess with it anymore. I'd say in the last 10 years, I haven't ever noticed anyone, unless they're really desperate, going after the hemp that is growing in the field.
Yeah, absolutely. What about my guess that you don't need as much land to...
No, you wouldn't. If you had it, it's sort of like a specialty farm. It's like if you had a garden farm, or if you were growing certain of the herbs, you need way less land. You may need more intensive care of that land, and that could up your price on it. But if you had 160 acres of farmland and you put that in hemp, if you were successful at it, I expect that would be a very good profit.
And again, we're talking industrial.
Understand, in a section, you got 640 acres, and I have... Well, I basically manage about five sections, or five or six, and you can see the difference. That is, a large part of it is grassland, and a large part of it is farmland. But it is limited, and economically, that's down on the base of where you can afford to have a farm and make it run normally, unless you have a specialty crop.
The farm bill that we're talking about here, too, or the family farming issue, does this also affect ranchers?
Yes.
And let's talk about the typical rancher. We've talked about the typical farmer. Are they the same age group, do you say? Or
I would say, if anything, your ranchers are getting to be older.
Really?
I know that... If I'm looking for someone, especially, we still like to use cattle horses, and it is getting very difficult to find one, not that can ride a horse, but that knows how to ride a horse well enough to chase cattle. You've probably got to go to the western part of the state, and I also noticed that there's still a lot of Native Americans that would be very knowledgeable on horseback. But you're really running out of them on the regular pool of farmhands that you're going to have.
Again, we are talking about what's going on in the North Dakota legislature, but should we make a few comments about the new farm bill that's out there?
Well, the new farm bill hasn't really gone through, so we don't know. That'll be with the federal government.
Right.
And the government having been sort of offline for a certain amount of time, I have no idea what the new farm bill is going to be, other than it'll probably be similar to the one that we had before. And as to the North Dakota legislature, what they are doing is they're sort of crimping the farming one just to make it a little bit easier for people to have it because of the fact that so many don't have that many descendants. And there has been, and always will be, I gather, a strong number of people that are against having any corporate farm at all. As I mentioned to you, you've only got about 9 states that have limited nations on the state on the allowance of corporations to allow to farm here. It's basically something that those that are in favor of it say is the only way we can keep the small-sized farms to be around. And they do have the exceptions where they've got just local people in it so that they can take advantage of many of the tax advantage there is to corporate farming. But their hope is that they're not going to have the small-time farmer pushed out of it, and we're probably one of only 9 states that isn't having them pushed out.
I can really appreciate that. Like I said, knowing a little bit and very little bit about family farming through my wife and my stepfather when he was around. But let me ask this. Besides losing that heritage, are we talking about losing a lot of money for the state when a corporation comes in and buys up a lot of farmland? Does that mean, let's just pick on Green Giant for a minute here. If Green Giant comes in and buys 10,000 acres and they farm it, does that mean less money stays in the state?
I don't know for sure. I wouldn't think it would be noticeable because they're still going to have to hire local farmmen. Of course, you don't have the business, and anything that would go to the business is going to go out of the state. So I would think there'd be a certain diminishing of the amount of money put in the state because of that reason. I don't think it's necessarily an overly large amount because I'm still thinking the purchases will be mostly made in the state. However, due to the changes we're making on the internet and the ability to buy things wholesale more on a larger scale, to that extent, in the future at least, it's going to end up in the results of a considerable change. Nonetheless, if we don't change, and this would be what would be argued by the other side, you're going to have the disadvantage that if we don't have farmers large enough to take advantage, for instance, to buy the truckload, the seed for the corn, especially this corn that's developed so that it'll be Roundup ready corn, for instance, which also brings in other problems because there's a number that say we shouldn't have Roundup being used at all. And if you look at the TV at night, you see a number of law firms that are carrying on trying to solicit people that were in the agriculture industry and because of that have come down with cancer.
We're talking about like genetically modified.
This is genetically modified ones, but it's Roundup is the chemical that's used on that they're genetically modified to be able to live with.
Right. Well, we're already running out of time. I do see the limiting and keeping out the corporate farms as a positive thing just for our heritage.
I would say that's probably the best argument about it. And plus, I like the fact that I've got a relatively small farm. And I don't like the idea that it all becomes corporate farming. But that's just a personal prejudice that I happen to have.
Yeah. Michael, thanks again for coming in and visiting here on Minot Today. And I know, again, we're going to be calling on you frequently, being you're my neighbor here.
Always glad to be available for emergency-type programs.
Thank you. Michael Ward of the Robert Martin Law Firm is a close friend in many ways. First of all, when I was active in real estate, he was the best real estate attorney I knew and worked with. He's also close because I rent office space from him at 201 Main Street in South Minot. He's also close as a friend. When Michael said that he's always glad to help out in emergency, he knows if I come up and ask him to speak, somebody else failed to show up for a recording, and he fills in on those weeks that happens. I want to thank Michael Ward again for his expertise and for sharing it with us on KHRT Minot Today. And thank you, too, for listening.